Itai Sevini Mataji was born in Mumbai in a Gujarati business family, conventional followers of the Kushti Mark. Later, she with her family shifted to Hyderabad in 1984. Since then, she was closely connected to ISKCON, Secunderabad. Inspired by visits of many senior devotees, she later joined as a full-time devotee in 1997 and took initiation in 1998 in Atlanta, USA, from His Holiness Jayaprataka Swami. She has completed her graduation in commerce, master's in education with PG diploma in management of voluntary organization. She is pursuing her PhD in education from Andhra University. Presently, she is the principal of ISKCON's Divine Touch, actively involved in collections, festival coordination, congregation preaching, college preaching, and shouldering management responsibility with her husband, His Grace Samba Das, President ISKCON of Visakhapatnam. She initiated Bhakti Yoga residential summer camp at Visakhapatnam, whereby school children stay as devotee for 1 week in the temple, which has been very successful program. We are very fortunate to have Her Grace Nitai Sevini Mataji giving us Bhagavatam class today. Thank you so much, Mataji. Please take over the call, Mataji.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayo Dhiri Nashtaprayeshu Avadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevayam Bhagavate Uttamam Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 4, chapter 8, text number 11. Navatsa nipate drishnyam bhavan arodhum arahati nagrihito mayayatvam kukshava api nitatmajam. Translation: Queen Suruchi told Dhruva Maharaj, "My dear child, you do not deserve to sit on the throne or on the lap of the king. Surely you are also the son of the king. But because you did not take your birth from my womb, you are not qualified to sit on your father's lap." Purported by Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Queen Suruchi very proudly informed Dhruva Maharaj that to be the king's son was not the qualification for sitting on the lap or throne of the king. Rather, this privilege was dependent on one's having taken birth from her womb. In other words, she indirectly informed Dhruva Maharaj that although he happened to be born of the king, he was considered an illegitimate son because of his birth from the womb of the other queen. Very interesting and very beautiful love. Shloka here.
Samadhi, Mataji, can you speak little bit loud, Mataji? So devotee can
louder.
Yes, okay. Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Is it okay now?
Mataji.
Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Mataji, can you come closer, yeah.
Hare Krishna, is it okay now?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, fine. Now it's audible, right? Okay. Hare Krishna. I just want confirmation from somebody. Is it audible now?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. So here, this is a very beautiful shloka. And as you all must be hearing the background of this story from last few days of how King Uttanapada was very attached to his second wife, Suruchi. And his first wife, Suniti, had a son called Dhruva, and Suruchi had a son called Uttam. And the background story goes as the king takes Uttam on his lap, and Dhruva Maharaj also wants to come and sit on the king's lap. But the queen Suruchi very harshly reprimands him and tells him that you cannot sit on the throne or on the lap of the king, because though you are the son of the king, because you did not take birth from my womb, you are not qualified to sit on your father's lap. such a beautiful sloka here. We see that in this world, we have so much faith on our material securities. But here, by this particular pastime, Sukhdev Goswami is telling us that though we may keep so much faith on our material securities, our assets, our bank balance, our property, but there is no guarantee that they will be standing for us at the time of need. Here we see that Dhruva Maharaj is having so much faith on his father, but at the time of need, when he wanted to climb on his father's lap, the father has not given him any security. So Dhruva Maharaj has learned a harsh lesson of life, that it's not that, you know, your relatives, your friends, your material securities will be there when you need them. Of course, Dhruva Maharaj learned this lesson at a very young age of 5 years. But there are people like us who even at the age of 20, 30, 40, even at 80, we are not able to give up that faith that we have on our material assets. Here, Dhruva Maharaj was a son of a big king. But he could understand that there is no surety that when we need them, they will be by our side. It's such a beautiful lesson for the devotees that we need to learn to depend on Krishna and not anybody else. Apparently, what seems like our material security is no guarantee. I remember when I was newly married, you know, we have this habit from childhood, if you fall down, something happens, the first thing that comes in your mouth will be, you know, like, Amma or mother or mom, you know, because the moment you get hurt. So when I got newly married and, you know, something happened, a small accident, I got my little finger cut and the first thing came out was mother. And my husband immediately corrected me. He said, how come you know, when it something happens to you, you say your mother, you're supposed to call out for Krishna. So somewhere in your subconscious mind, you are still having that, you know, thing in your mind about your mother who is there for you to, you know, to protect you. So he said, first thing, you change your habit. Whenever anything happens, the first name that should come to your tongue should be Krishna. And if now onwards we start practicing this, making a habit to depend on Krishna, then when we have to give that final test, we will be able to remember Krishna. Because it's not so easy when the soul actually leaves the body. It's a very painful process. They say that in the Puranas that when the soul leaves the body, the pain is as if 40,000 scorpions are biting you at the same time. So imagine at that time, how will we be able to remember Krishna? But if we make it as a habit to remember Krishna and be dependent only on Krishna, and then when the final test of our life will come, we will be successful. Habit has to be formed from very childhood. Even with our children, we should start at this very age. Anything happens, the first thing that should come from their mouth should be Krishna. I remember one story of a particular team, a football team, you know, who were doing very well and they had gone into their final match. Now when they went into their final match, the goalkeeper got sick. So now the team were panicking, what to do, we need to search for a goalkeeper. On that particular day, the captain of the team was, you know, in a traffic jam. He was stuck in a traffic jam. And from far off, he saw that there was one truck parked near to a particular grocery shop. And what they were doing is they were loading bags of potatoes in those trucks. Now, he saw that they were doing it very systematically. There was one man who was standing on the road. There was another man who was standing inside the truck. And this man used to pass on the bags of potato to this man who was standing on the truck. And as soon as he used to catch the bag, he used to put them inside the truck. And they were doing it very systematically, bag by bag, bag by bag. Now, this particular captain went and told the man who was standing on the truck, said, I'm in need of a goalkeeper. Can you know, come and help us as a goalkeeper for one day match? Now this man said, look, I have no experience whatsoever of the sport you are talking about. I'm a simple man. serving in a grocery store. He said, nothing, there is no big thing about being a football goalkeeper. What he simply needs to do is catch. And I saw that you are very good at catching. You are really doing a good catch of those potato bags. So he said, if that is all a goalkeeper is all about, I'll come definitely. So they took him for the match and he did a great job because he was habituated. For many years he had been doing this, you know, taking a proper catch. So he was doing a good job. Now the final moment arrived when both the teams were on draw and now the final ball was to be kicked by the opposition party and this guy was all ready to catch it. Now finally when he kicked the ball and this man as usual very nicely caught the ball in his hand because he was used to doing it for many years and the whole stadium, all the audiences started applauding and clapping and everybody was so happy. But the very next moment what this man did was he himself made a goal with the ball because he was so habituated last many years that whenever the potato bag was thrown on him, he was supposed to push it inside the truck. So this is what he did with the football also. The moment he caught the ball, he put it inside by himself towards the net and they lost the game. So habits die hard. If we make a habit to remember Krishna every moment of our life, every incident in our life, then at the final test we will succeed. We have to make a habit to depend on Krishna, habit to love Krishna, habit to remember Krishna. Krishna is our only friend, our only well-wisher. When we are new in Krishna consciousness, sometimes we think that my father, my friends, my relatives, they're all my friends and Krishna is also my friend. But when we get a little higher in bhakti, we understand that they may all be my friends, but Krishna is my best friend. But when we go a little more deeper in bhakti, then we understand that Krishna is not my best friend. Krishna is my only friend. He is our only friend. The term friend is supposed to be used only for Krishna. It's only Krishna who is our friend. Rest of them we use the term, but they will not stand by us when we actually need them. Here we see that in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, so much faith he had.
Hare Krishna.
We also have our plan A, we have our plan B ready. We don't have complete faith on Krishna. If you see the pastime of Draupadi, when Dushasan was pulling her sari, at one moment, she was also trying to protect herself. She had both her hands on the sari and she was not allowing Dushasan to pull the sari. But she could not succeed because Dushasan had the strength of 10,000 elephants. But at one point, she thought, what's the use? I can't protect myself. It's only Krishna who can protect. And at that time, when she left both her hands and raised the hands high up in the air, calling out Govinda, Krishna immediately came. As long as Draupadi was trying to protect herself, Krishna was behind, watching the scene. But the moment Krishna saw, Draupadi has put both her hands in the air and calling out for Krishna, Krishna immediately came. So we have to learn to depend on Krishna. Here we see that another perspective we see is the harsh language Suniti uses. When does this harsh speech come out? If you have seen the previous verses in the same chapter, they say harsh speech is a child of anger and envy. When we are envious of others, when we are full of anger, when does anger come? When our karma, lust is not fulfilled. So when we are full of lust, anger and envy, then that is where harsh speech comes out. And it is also said in elsewhere other verses that harsh speech plus Kali gives rise to death and fear. So we have to be so careful as devotees. Why does this harsh speech comes out? Here we see that Surichi, out of lot of pride she speaks. If you see the translation, she says, you do not deserve to sit on the throne because you did not take your birth from my womb. See the pride in her voice. This pride is very dangerous. There is a saying in English that pride comes before fall. So when we, if even as devotees, if we see that in us, we should understand pride comes before fall. We have to be very careful. Sometimes Maya has her own tricks. Even if we are very good devotees, but to get rid of pride is very difficult. Sometimes we may have pride that I'm a good devotee. That is also, that is a very big problem. There was one devotee who was so perfect in everything that he did, so particular, chanting his rounds, chanting his Gayatri, offering prasadam. He had such a sweet behavior with devotees. There was just nothing, no flaw about him. So one afternoon, while he was taking rest, he forgot to chant his Gayatri. Now you all know Gayatri is supposed to be chanted three sandhya, three times in a day. And he's been doing it that for long. Particular afternoon, it was little hot and humid, he fell off to sleep. Now somebody came and woke him up. Hari Bol, Prabhu, you forgot to chant your Gayatri. Oh, yeah, thank you so much, you reminded me. And he immediately, you know, took bath and started chanting his Gayatri. Now after the process was over, he went in search of that person who had woken him up from the sleep. And then he found out there was somebody sitting there. He said, Prabhu, you are the one who woke me up. Thank you so much. Can I know who are you? And he said, I'm Kali. And he said, how can that be? I thought Kali is supposed to be against devotees. Kali is somebody who takes us away from Krishna. How come you are reminding me to do my Gayatri? I'm surprised. And then the Kali Purusha said that last 20 years you have been doing Gayatri on time. So you have developed a pride that I do my things perfectly. I never go wrong. If today you would have missed your Gayatri, then your pride would have been lost. And if your pride is lost, then you will become good devotee. And my job is to make sure that you don't become a good devotee. So I want that you should keep your pride alive, that you are a very perfect devotee. So sometimes, even to have a pride that I am a good devotee is also very dangerous. It may drag us down. Pride blinds us. It blinds us. We have to be so careful. That is why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave a very nice tip. He said, if you want to get rid of pride, you make sure that you are living in a community or in your neighborhood. There are devotees who regularly criticize you. Then you are safe. Because otherwise, this pride, it goes like a needle, but comes out like a plume. And it disturbs and destroys our whole devotional life. So we should make sure always that there are at least some devotees around us who criticize us, or at least who tell us where we go wrong. It's such a great fortune to have somebody in our life tell us where we go wrong. But the problem is, we try to avoid the devotees who tell our faults. In fact, we enjoy the company of the devotees who praise us. We love them, actually. When we see them also, we feel so happy. There is a devotee who likes me, who praises me, who appreciates me. And the moment we come across a devotee who points out our faults or finds our fault, we try to be a little far from him. But it should be other way around. Those Vaishnavas who are pointing out our faults, they are so nice. Who is interested in this world to tell us our fault? Who has the time? But if somebody is taking out time and telling us our faults, we should be grateful to them. So this is one way to make sure that we don't get pride. We should have somebody who criticizes us in our circle, in our close circle. I'm reminded of a pastime from my Ramanuja Sampradaya. There was one devotee on the name of Parasar Bhatt. Now this Parasar Bhatt, one day he was sitting in the temple and then with all his disciples, and then somebody walked in and he came and he started criticizing Parasar Bhatt back and forth and speaking very ill. Now all his disciples, they got so upset, they wanted to push him out of the temple. But Parasarvat said, hold on, let me hear what he wants to say. So they kept on hearing, and after all the criticism was over, Parasarvat told somebody that go and get him a gift. So they got him a gift and the man left. The disciples immediately asked, what is this, Guruji? He was criticizing you and you have given him a gift. And then Parasarvat said a very beautiful thing. He said, actually, when you go in front of a deity, there are certain steps which you need to follow. The first and foremost thing is you are supposed to appreciate the deities. You are supposed to beg forgiveness from deities, because we have been roaming around in this Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Chakra, Samsara Chakra, from so many births, forgetting Krishna. So we need to ask him forgiveness that, my Lord, I'm such a fool. You know, please forgive me. And then we are supposed to criticize ourselves. And after that, we are supposed to ask him for benediction. So he said, these are the steps. But I was not following the third step of criticizing myself. I was praising the Lord. I was asking forgiveness. But I was not criticizing myself. So he has done 50% of my job. That's why I gave him the gift. So we should be happy when somebody finds out our fault. And that way, we will not be at the risk of developing pride. There was one incident happened when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was present in this planet. One very big man, a VIP man, I suppose he was a vice chancellor of a particular university. He came out with lot of pride to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, Swamiji, I have some questions. I want to ask you something. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, well, I am little busy. Can you go and ask the doubts to my disciples? So he goes to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples to ask this question. Now, these disciples also were very busy. They were cleaning some vessels in the kitchen. So they said, well, definitely we will answer your questions. Can you clean this vessel so that we can, you know, be free quickly, and then we will sit and answer your questions. So that the wise chancellor, who had come with so much pride, he also started cleaning those vessels. And by the time they finished whole kitchen, everything was neat and clean. And this gentleman went back to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then Thakur asked that, okay, so your questions are sorted out. Did you ask the questions you had? And immediately this wise chancellor replied, he said, yes, Swamiji, all my questions are answered. And he went away. In fact, he had not asked any question. But the moment he started doing menial seva, he started giving service, immediately all the pride inside his heart was killed. It was eradicated. So this is also one very good way. If we want to get rid of our pride, we should try and engage in menial service. We have to be very careful. I remember this incident in past time in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to Visakhapatnam. I mean, very close to here, there is a temple of Sri Kurma in Srikakulam. And he had come here in Kurma Kshetra, and this is the place he cured Vasudev Vipra from leprosy. When he cured Vasudev Vipra from leprosy, instead of being elated or happy, he started crying. Mahaprabhu said, what is your problem? He said, now you made my body look so beautiful, Mahaprabhu, I may get pride. Till now I had a dirty body, diseased body, but now I have such a beautiful body, I may get pride. Please protect me, Mahaprabhu. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him this beautiful instruction. He said, if you engage in devotional service and preach, you will never get pride. Don't worry. So this is a very good lesson for us, that to be safeguard ourselves from pride, we should try to engage ourselves in menial service. And one other way to get rid of pride is to gain knowledge. Sometimes, because of lack of knowledge, because of ignorance, we become very egoistic. Probably because we don't even know where we stand. It says in the scriptures that among out of this whole universe, 3/4 of it is spiritual world and only 1/4 of it is material world. Now imagine, only 1/4 of it is material world, in that also where our universe is and where in which part of the world, very small way we are situated somewhere. When we try to understand our position in reference with this whole big creation of Krishna, then we feel that we are so insignificant. Now, why we start getting pride is when we don't have knowledge, then we start thinking of ourselves as very big. But the moment we gain knowledge, actually knowledge is supposed to make us humble. If knowledge is not making us humble, that means there is something wrong. It says in the Niti Shastra that if you want to know somebody is knowledgeable or not, just converse with that person. And if you find that the person is having humility, oh, that means he has gained something. Because it says in the Niti Shastra that just like a tree which has a lot of fruits is always bent forward, it bent down. Similarly, those who are full of knowledge, the first sign is they are very humble. So, if you are ignorant, then that means you will have pride. Pride comes from ignorance and humility comes from knowledge. This is a simple sutra we have to remember in our mind. So humility, one should be humble. See, even this, I don't know how many of you have ever seen Taj Mahal, but when we were young, we went to see Taj Mahal with our school, sometimes also with our parents. And I remember very fondly we used to click photos of holding Taj Mahal in our little two fingers. The photographer used to arrange the place in such a way that we simply need to hold our two little fingers, and he will set the photo in such a way as if we are touching the tip of Taj Mahal. He used to arrange it in such a way. Whereas the Taj Mahal is very huge, but they used to do it by the way of photo. Now, what happens even in our day-to-day life, when we see something from very far, it apparently looks very small. Today you see a hill, it looks so small when you see it from far. You feel, oh, it's just very little. But the more closer and closer and closer you go to that hill, you understand, oh, it's very huge. So similarly, when we don't have knowledge, then we have a lot of pride. But the more we gain knowledge, the more we go ahead and Krishna consciousness, then the more we understand of our insignificant position in this world. So if we need to get rid of pride, we have to be humble. We have to develop proper knowledge. And another very good tip of getting rid of pride is by sharing our anarthas. There are so many anarthas that we have in our heart, but we are saving them. You know, in India, the husbands, they never tell their wife how much money they have, because they are worried that if they let the wife know how much money he has, she will spend it off. So he keeps it under locker. So the thing is, the thing that you hide, it grows. So if you hide your anarthas, then they grow in size. If you want that this anartha should be out from me, just go and share it with somebody. You know, even this Christian people, they also have this system of confession, you know. They go and tell somebody, this is what I did. I'm not trying to tell you exactly about, you know, that it should be like confession. But sometimes, what anarthas we have in our heart, if we go and disclose it with our guru or senior Vaishnavas, or Siksha Guru, or somebody whom we have a lot of faith. See, the problem is, we won't be able to share our anarthas with our wife, with our husband, with our children. Because for our children, for our family, we are some ideal they are looking up to. So if they come to know that we have these anarthas, it will be very difficult for us to deal with them day to day. And if you share it with your immediate partner, there is every chance that whenever a fight arises between both of you, the partner may come up with, this is what you said you have inside your heart, so you have such a malign heart. So the only safe thing is to a senior Vaishnava or a Siksha Guru, you just go and share your anartha. Prabhu or Mataji, this is what I have in my heart, please help me. And I tell you, the moment you share your anarthas, half of your problem is gone. Because most of the time, our time is wasted in hiding our anarthas. The whole day from morning to evening, 365 days in a year, we are busy putting mask on our face. We want to sometimes put a mask of a good wife, mask of a good husband, mask of a good devotee, mask of a good leader. And by going on putting mask after mask, we ourselves forget what is our real face. So at least somebody in this world should know that, look, this is how I am. Somebody in this world should know our real face, how we are. And I tell you, the moment you do that, you will feel so light. You will feel so happy when you go and share it. No? And when you share it, slowly, slowly, it will start getting reduced. But if you save it, if you keep it, then it multiplies. In there was one place in India where it was an endangered area where they were not supposed to do hunting. So there were strict rules and regulation that nobody should be allowed inside that forest for hunting. But now this particular man, he was very greedy. He was interested to go and hunt for a wolf there. So what he did, he wore a long coat and he went inside, deep inside that forest. He hunted a wolf. He hunted a wolf and he was very happy. He put the wolf inside his coat and he was ready to go. Now at that very moment, he heard the sound of some jeep approaching. So he got worried, who is this, you know, in the middle of this adventure, he has come here and now he may catch me. So he saw from far that the forest officer was getting down from the jeep. So now he got really worried that if this forest officer finds out that I have, you know, hunted for this wolf, then I'll be in big problem and they may put me in a prison. So immediately what he did, that half-dead wolf, he put it inside his own coat and he went and sat there. Inside the forest, there was some bench and he went and sat there. Now the forest officer came there and he asked him, hey, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be, this is a restricted area. So he said, no, sir, actually I like fresh air, so I was just sitting here. So then he also sat next to him and they both started conversing to and fro and lot of talks are going on. Now what was happening inside, this half-dead wolf, which was inside this long coat of this particular hunter, because it was not dead yet, it started biting and eating the flesh of this hunter from inside. Now this hunter was not able to react also. Because this officer, forest officer, was sitting right next to him. So he was not able to give any reaction, though he was in pain. He was in great pain. So he doesn't say anything. He simply sits there. And after some time, when the forest officer leaves, he's all ready to open up his coat. But by that time, the wolf has eaten up so much of his flesh that this hunter dies. So even the wolf dies and the hunter dies. Now we understand by this story that what this hunter was trying to do is he was trying to hide the wolf from the forest officer. And what happened in the process? He himself got killed because the wolf ate away the flesh of the hunter from inside. Now sometimes, even in our spiritual life, we try to hide our anarthas from people. Nobody should come to know, this is what happens with me, this is how I am, this is what I think inside my mind, this is how impure my thoughts are. Then what happens, since we are not sharing it with anybody, slowly, slowly, just like the half-dead wolf, they start eating away our spiritual life from inside. So apparently we look like devotees from outside. We still have Kantimala, we still have Tilak, we still have a Japamala in our hand. But inside, our devotion has been eaten away like the termites, you know, you have white termites, they eat away the whole thing. And you cannot even realize, from outside it looks, everything looks nice. But when you actually open from inside, the termites have eaten up everything. So our spiritual life is also like that. If we don't share our anarthas with anybody, with seniors, slowly, slowly it will eat our spiritual life. We have to be so careful. And one other way of giving up our pride is by not taking credit of the services that we do, you know, the services we perform. Sometimes we are so eager to take credit. More than the service, we are looking forward for that applause which we are going to get at the end of it. But the best way, whenever you do some service, we're supposed to immediately transfer the credit to the seniors. to our Guru Parampara. If we see in Srila Prabhupada's life also, whenever anybody used to appreciate him, that Prabhupada, you have done so well, then he used to say, no, it's not my credit, it's all my Guru Maharaj. And every time he used to give credit to his disciples, these American boys and girls, these Western boys and girls, they have helped me a lot. You know? So we see that, you know, in Prabhupada, he never wanted to take credit. You know, I remember one of the Srila Prabhupada disciples, His Grace Atma Tattva Prabhu, was once telling that when he was new to ISKCON, and the first time when he saw Srila Prabhupada, Loknath Maharaj was doing the Guru Puja, and they were all singing, you know, Sri Guru, Charana, Padma, Kevala, Bhakti, Sadma, and everybody was, you know, offering flowers to Prabhupada, paying obeisances. So Atma Tattva Prabhu was like, oh my God, you know, so much grandeur, and this man sits here on the throne, and everybody comes and pays him obeisances. And he little bit closely, you know, wanted to see Prabhupada. So he came a little forward and he saw that Prabhupada is also singing that Sri Guru Charana Padma. And now Atma Tattva Prabhu thought, this is too much. All of them are singing and he's also singing for himself. How much ego he has. And then when he shared the same thing with Loknath Maharaj, then Loknath Maharaj said, no. It's not that he is singing for himself. We are singing for him and he is singing for his Guru. He is singing for his Guru. He is remembering his Guru when we are offering these prayers to him. And when Atma Tattva Prabhu heard this, he said, I got so convinced. That moment I thought, I want to join ISKCON. I want to take initiation from this Guru, this gentleman. So, see that. Okay. 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 Right. So we see that in Srila Prabhupada's life, he was always giving credit to Guru Parampara. This is something like, you know, even at our home, sometimes when we eat baked potatoes, you know what the family does when they're eating a baked potato? If you bake a potato and right from the oven, if you put it on the plate and eat, then what happens? Our mouth gets burnt. But the best way is, the mother takes out the potato, the baked potato from the oven, she passes it on to the father passes on to his elder son, then the elder sibling passes on to the younger sibling, and this way when they keep passing the potato from one plate to another, and finally when the child eats it, it's already become a little cool, so he can happily eat it. So that way the whole family, they keep passing that from one plate to another, and that way it gets cooled down. But if you directly eat it from the oven and right in your plate, your mouth may get burnt. Similarly, when somebody gives us credit, and if we directly accept it, then what will happen? Our spiritual life gets burnt. We have to be so careful, make sure that, you know, whatever services we do and whatever credit we acquire for that, we should immediately pass it on to our seniors, to our Guru Parampara, so then we have no risk of developing pride, right? So here I would like to summarize that if we want to give up pride, we should make sure that we keep somebody in our circle who criticizes us or at least tells us our fault. We should make sure that we engage ourselves in menial service of the Lord. We should make sure that we develop knowledge and develop humility. We should make sure that we share our anandas with other seniors. And we should make sure that we don't take credit for whatever service we have performed. If we follow the steps, then we can be safeguarded from pride. This pride is a very big obstacle in our spirit, in our life. This pride gives birth to so many other anarthas. So as I was just mentioning, that this pride, envy, anger, this harsh speech, these are all very big problems. Here we see that Suruchi was using very harsh speech towards Dhruva Maharaj. It says in the Skanda Puran that showing anger towards somebody, showing envy, these are all also part of Vaishnava plan. In the Skanda Puran says, see, every day in the morning after Mangala Arati, we chant that we should not make Vaishnava prad, we should not criticize those devotees who have dedicated their life in serving Krishna, but we should also know what are the ways actually we are committing Vaishnava Prad? How are we committing Vaishnava Prad? In Skanda Puran it says that if you are not happy on seeing a Vaishnava, then that is also a Vaishnava Prad.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you see Vaishnava, you should feel happy. If you see a Vaishnava and you don't pay obeisances, that is also a Vaishnava Prad. If you criticize, that is also a Vaishnava Prad. If you are envious of a Vaishnava, you may not have put it in your words. It may be mental, but that is also a Vaishnava Prad. If you are angry on a Vaishnava, then that is also a Vaishnava Prad. And if you murder a Vaishnava, that means kill a Vaishnava, that is also Vaishnava Prad. Now, of course, we may say that, no, who's going to do that? I mean, nobody's going to murder a Vaishnava. But of course, it also says in the Niti Shastra that if you disrespect respectable person, then that is also a murder. That means if we don't show proper respect to other Vaishnavas, that is also a kind of a, it may not be gross, but it is a subtle murder. So we have to be so careful in so many ways. Every day we may be making so many Vaishnava aparads. So this harsh speech, this showing of anger is also a very big problem. Prabhupada said that when we speak to somebody, our speech should be very pleasing. It should not hurt somebody. It should be truthful. It should be beneficial to the person. And it should be based on Shastra. And if we are not able to follow these rules of speech, then we should try to speak less. If we are not able to control it, then better not to speak unnecessarily. Because just like a croaking of a frog attracts snake, you know, the snake goes and eats up the... Yeah, the snake of Maya will find us, you know, and it will attack us. So we have to be very careful. When we speak, we should speak about Krishna. And if we speak anything apart from Krishna, then it should be under these rules. Truthful, useful, pleasing and all. And if we are unable to do that, then better to maintain silence. One has to be very careful that one doesn't hurt any Vaishnava by his harsh speech. So today in this sloka, the take-home lessons are that we should not develop pride as devotees, we should not use harsh speech, and we should not depend on our material assets. We should not have so much faith on our LICs or fixed deposits or assets or properties or our relatives or friends. We should learn to depend only on Krishna. And we should remember, Krishna is not our best friend, he is our only friend. Krishna is our only friend and only well-wisher in this world. And we should have full faith on Krishna, and we should develop that habit from very young age to depend on Krishna. And if we can do that, then at the time of final test, we will be able to succeed. So I'll end the class here and I'll pause for questions if anybody has any questions. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Prabhu Maharaj ki jai.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Wonderful class, Mataji. Thank you very much. Mataji, I have a question. You know, if we are the recipient of somebody's very harsh speech and anger, from which may be coming from anger, envy, we don't know. But if somebody is using extremely harsh speech with us, how do we react?
Krishna says that those who tolerate, Krishna likes them. If we can tolerate, Hare Krishna, if we can tolerate. Just yesterday, I was giving a class in the temple on Kaliya Leela. And there is one last time where Krishna climbs on the Kadamba tree and he jumps inside the Yamuna river to subdue the Kaliya snake. And devotees are wondering that when everything around the Kaliya has been destroyed because of the poison of Kaliya, how come the Kadamba tree survive? And then Sanatana Goswami gives a wonderful commentary on this. He says the Kadamba tree, because it survived the poison, the poisonous fumes of this Kaliya Hrida, that is why Krishna showed his mercy on this Kadamba tree. That is why this Kadamba tree got the opportunity to be recipient of Krishna's lotus feet. And in that commentary, Sanatana Goswami says that is how, if a devotee is tolerant, then he will be recipient of Krishna's mercy. So whenever such incidents happen in our life, we should always remember that if I'm tolerant, Krishna loves the devotees who are patient and who are tolerant. And if we are tolerant, then Krishna becomes so happy with us. If you remember, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one pastime of Prithu Maharaj. how he does so many yagyas, and Indra tries to disturb his yagya, and after that, when he's doing the 99th yagya, Indra keeps coming in the form of a sannyasi and disturbs him, takes away his sacrifice and horse. And then Brahma comes and tells Prithu Maharaj, okay, forget about it. Don't do your 100th Ashwamedha Yajna. Because Indra was little afraid that if he finishes his 100th Yajna, he may become Indra, he may take away his position, something like that. So then Prithu Maharaj says, all right. Because Brahma convinces him that you are doing this Yajna just to satisfy Lord. And the Lord is satisfied. Then why do you want to complete your Yajna? The 100th one, just leave. So because he compromises, because he lets go, because he sacrifices, Krishna becomes so happy with him. Krishna comes down, and we just can read that in Srimad Bhagavatam, and Krishna blesses Prithu Maharaj, and not only that, it is explained, there is one particular verse which explains that Lord was so happy with Prithu that he put one of his hand on his Garuda, and he was looking with love, full of love on Prithu Maharaj. He's not able to take away his eyes from Prithu Maharaj. That much he's feeling happy to see him. And why all this shower of love on him? Because Prithu Maharaj tolerated. That means if we tolerate, if we let go, Krishna becomes so happy. We become a recipient of his special mercy. So who cares who is speaking harshly with us? We want a relationship with Krishna. We want to make him happy. That is why in spiritual life, actually, nothing will hurt us if we develop a higher relationship with Krishna. The problem is, because we don't have a higher relationship with Krishna, then all this lower relationship becomes so important part of our life. This person hurt me, that person said this, that person said that, and we feel hurt. Because for us, they are so important. But if for us, Krishna was important, and we had a relation with Krishna, then all this will be so insignificant. This is something like, if you have won a jackpot, you have won 100 crore jackpot. You are so happy. You are on your way to get the jackpot and the money. You are in the car. And then somebody comes and dashes your car. Believe me, at that moment, if somebody comes and dash your car also, you will forgive the person. You will say, it's okay. No problem. Because you are so happy. Because you have got that 100 crore jackpot. You are on the way to get the prize money. Everything becomes insignificant now. So that means when you want something higher, all this thing is becoming insignificant. That means if we had developed a nice relationship with Krishna, then all these things will become so insignificant. Who is telling you what? Who is speaking harsh? Nothing will make difference to you if you have a higher relationship with Krishna. But till the time we have not developed the higher relationship with Krishna, everything around us will hurt. Even if one devotee forgets to wish us Hare Krishna, doesn't smile at us also, we'll get upset. But now you may say, Mataji, we are not on that higher stage where we have developed that relationship with Krishna, so everything becomes insignificant. It doesn't become insignificant. In our life, this is very important. If the other devotee speaks harsh, it's a bad day for us. Now we just keep reminding ourselves of what they said in the morning. This is what happened. So what to do? So at that time, we have to remember the scriptures. We have to read this, we read Bhagavatam, and we have to remember the pastimes from there. And we have to remind ourselves that, no, if I tolerate, if I let go, Krishna will be happy with me. So that's what Krishna consciousness means. What we are here in International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That means we have to be conscious of Krishna all the time. The problem is, except being conscious of Krishna, we are doing everything else. But that is what we are here for. Prabhupada made this society that we should be conscious of Krishna all the time. So whenever any incident happens, be conscious of Krishna all the time. Krishna is watching this. Krishna is looking. Everything happens with Krishna's sanction. So even if this person has spoken harshly with me, that is also Krishna's sanction. And if you keep it in that mood, definitely, if not 100%, you will get some relief in your mind.
Mataji, this does not happen too much in the devotee circle, obviously, because all the devotees are also on their own spiritual path of anartha nivritti. So these incidents don't necessarily happen in devotee circles, but it happens maybe with our own family members. So then in those situations, yes, Mataji, we should tolerate. But is it also advisable to just avoid these, encounters with these people so that we don't have to go through this again? Because they may use the harshest language and this could hurt us. And then for days we're thinking and crying about it. So is it better to just avoid?
Yeah, you have given your own answer. If it is among your close family members, then you just try to avoid them. Usually, I feel that these family members around us who are speaking harshly with us, there are some things like, in India, I don't know about the U.S.
Hare Krishna Mataji. I think Mataji.
Ma.
Internet.
Ma. Ma.
Wait.
Ma.
Hare Krishna Mataji Nanda Prama Goshi Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for the wonderful class, Mataji. Very beautiful explanation. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji. I think Mataji is not there.
Mataji's voice is not coming, Mataji. Mataji, maybe, yeah.
Ishwari Kumari, please call Mataji.
Shyamagauri Mataji, Mataji is...
Yes, I can see her name, but no activity.
Now, Mataji drop. We cannot see her. Oh, yeah, Mataji, we can see. Maybe her internet is very low. Yes, Mataji.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Mataji, yes. Now I can hear you. Mataji, it was... Okay. We could not hear, maybe.
Oh, it was interrupted? Yeah. Oh, you could not hear my answer?
Means 2 minutes maybe, Mataji. You could not hear. Okay.
No, Mataji, okay. Not for the second question. You were explaining. You explained the first.
Yeah,
answer.
I was telling you the second answer. Yeah. So did you get the second answer?
No, Mataji.
Yeah, I was telling that in India you have tests like class test, slip test.
No, Mataji, can you please repeat again?
I said in India you have this system of class test, slip test. Quarterly exam, half yearly exam, annual exams. So every day,
yes,
they give you a test. Yes. They give you a test in the class just to make sure that when the final test comes, you write well. So every day they give you a test to write. You know, it's called class test or unit test or slip test. You know, so I feel that these family members around us who are apparently a little harsh to us, they are like our day-to-day test. You know, how much we have learned to tolerate. So we should take it in that mode, you know, that how much we have learned to tolerate, and then that will be finally helpful to us for our final test, you know, because it's not that always the situations will be very nice and, you know, as we want them. Be prepared, you know, by taking this test regularly and become more strong.
Very beautiful answer, Mataji. Thank you so much. I have one more question. If you have time.
Okay.
So we were discussing about discussing our anarthas to somebody, and we don't hide the anartha. Sometimes uh-huh. The problem is we don't even know that we have this anartha. Because we have a high estimate of ourselves, and unless something happens and Krishna reveals us that, you know, this is what you are, we don't even know. So how to have a system of introspection and, you know, worried more about internal, like, cleaning and being, to see that if Krishna is happy with me, what I do, how to have that...
I'm sure everybody has a Siksha Guru or a mentor under whom they are closely serving. And even if somebody is a leader, they again have somebody else whom they are serving under, and finally, you know, up to GBC. So I'm sure you must be having your immediate boss or immediate devotee under which you are serving, and try to make sure that you are making him happy. That is how our parampara is, dasanu dasanu das. We cannot make sure that Krishna is happy or not, but the immediate devotee whom we are answerable to, under whom we are doing service, we should make sure that we are making that particular devotee happy. And on a regular basis, we should ask them that, you know, if I am committing any mistakes or if I am anything, please kindly correct me. Sometimes, I want to give you my personal, you know, our congregation at Vizag example. Sometimes some devotees, they come and tell me, Mataji, if I am doing anything wrong, if I am having any mistake, please tell me. But actually, when I tell them, then I see that they are not very happy. They are not yet ready to accept that this is what the fault is there in them. So I have to be so careful and picky and choosy. And only those whom I consider that, you know, they are 100%, even if I tell them their fault, they are not going to feel bad about it. Only to those people I tell them, okay, this is what is wrong with you. So sometimes, you know, we become like a touch me not kind of, you know, attitude. So even our own Siksha Gurus also, they know us very well. they know us very well that if I tell, then he or she is going to get hurt, so they avoid telling us. So at least we should make sure that our by our behavior, we convince them that even if you are going to let me know that I'm making a mistake here, I'm not going to feel bad about it, Prabhu or Mataji, please correct me. So at least make sure by your behavior that you are able to, you know, present that proper picture to them, because sometimes even our own Siksha Gurus or seniors, they are reluctant to tell our fault because they just feel, I don't want to disappoint this person. He's doing some seva enthusiastically. This may be wrong with him, but these are the good qualities in him. That's why I'm telling you, you know, that if somebody tells our fault, that means he's an amazing devotee, because mostly the devotees want to avoid telling others' fault. They will be extra careful. Are jane do, something he's doing nice, na, something he's not able to do, leave it. But if they make it a point to come and tell you that here you are wrong, then you should just hold the feet of that devotee. That thank you. At least you're coming and telling me that this is where I'm wrong. So, I mean, of course, this answer can be very elaborate. I'm just trying to, you know, give a quick whatever comes to my mind immediately.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much. It really helped me, and I remember in my early days I was introduced through Atma Tattva Prabhu, and he used to be very, very, he has mended a lot, and whenever he comes, he points out faults that what we are.
I'm so happy to hear that, because in my childhood I have been guided by Atma Tattva Prabhu, and I really used to love his lectures. So I'm really happy.
Yeah,
your
previous name, is it Neha?
Yes.
And you
so Yes. I just love his classes. Yeah, I love his classes.
You came from the Gita test, right?
Wonderful. Yes. I'm very much a product of a ISKCON Gita summer camp, a student of ISKCON Gita summer camp. So that's why I am very inspired by children preaching. I make sure that even out of our busy management schedule, take out some time for children preaching. That is how I came into Krishna consciousness.
Any other questions?
Otherwise, we will close the session here.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanat Pranam, Shila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Mataji, you were mentioning in the class, means from the very beginning, we should try to remember Krishna. And can you give some tips? Sometimes if there is no devotee association, and then it's very difficult, and other so many obstacles in our life, it's very difficult to remember Krishna. How can we more depend on Krishna, Mataji?
Actually, it is nowadays, it has become very easy to remember Krishna. This was something which was like, you know, some time back when there was no much internet accessibility. But nowadays it has become more easier. You can have so much Vaishnava association via internet. Now there are no more problems with the geographical distances. You know, we have all become, now you're able to hear me somewhere I am in some part of India, and where are you? So why do you feel there is no Vaishnava association? Try to take Vaishnava association through internet, try to read books, try to hear bhajans, try to do lot of shravanam, and take association of Srimad Bhagavatam. When you have Bhagavatam in your house, when you have Tulsi Maharani in your house, and then what else devotee requires? You have association of a Param Vaishnavi Tulsi Maharani, and you have association of Srimad Bhagavatam, who is Krishna himself. And then you have this internet where you can get association of thousands of devotees around the world. So what is the problem? There is no problem about association of devotees. So take association like that, and slowly Krishna will arrange for physical association of Vaishnavas also. Because sometimes via the internet, you cannot have a Siksha Guru who will correct you. You see, I remember there was one devotee who had called me from UK, and he said, Mataji, I like your lectures. And from when I started hearing your lectures, I have stopped going to the Manor Sunday program. So I said, why is that? Then he said, no, it's just that because it's in my language, it's in Telugu, so I feel very comfortable. And so nowadays we skip that program, we hear on YouTube your lectures. So I said that, no, you immediately stop my lectures and start going for the Sunday program. Then he said, why are you insisting, Mataji? What's the problem? Here also we are taking devotee association only, in YouTube we are hearing your lecture, there also we are taking association. What is the difference? So I said, that association will be more beneficial. He said, why is that? He said, in YouTube, I told him, I said, in YouTube, you can shut my mouth whenever you want. It is in your hand. You can close me, you can open my lecture. There is, but there, when you go to the manor and associate with devotees directly, you can't, shut them or open them with your remote control. So here they will be able to guide you properly because day to day they are seeing your behavior. So I said, kindly stop that and please start associating physically with Vaishnavas. So definitely, when you have a physical association with Vaishnavas where they guide you, you talk to them, you dance with them, take prasadam, you share, that is really amazing. But if you don't have that, then instead of feeling bad about it, whatever available facilities, you start associating and Krishna will arrange. Sometimes I get calls from some people who are in a very remote area where there are no devotees. And I've been telling them that you just continue your Shravanam, Kirtanam, take association of Bhagavatam, Tulsi Maharani, and Krishna will send devotees. Now, I remember one particular incident about one Mataji crying like this, and I told her, do this. And in some time, what happened, when she was regularly hearing and reading, her neighbors also started coming and hearing and reading with her. And slowly she made all the neighbors into devotees. And she got Vaishnava Association. I'm not saying every time Krishna will give answer to, in this way only and your neighbors will become devotee. But I said, Krishna has his own plan. He's very intelligent. He will make all the arrangements. So don't worry so much about I'm not having. Whatever you have, be happy about it. Take more advantage. Read more. Take association of Bhagavatam. And definitely Krishna will make some arrangement and see that you have some real Vaishnava association.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Mataji, I have one more question. Is it okay, Mataji?
Yeah, no problem. Tell me.
Mataji, it's very inspiring. You are doing for so many things for kids. Can you give how we can give more Krishna consciousness to our kids and how we can take care more them in nice way? They can remember Krishna and become more Krishna consciousness, Mataji.
Mataji, as far as dealing with kids, your own kids, if you're talking about preaching to the kids, there are n number of ways. You organize Sunday schools or summer camps or retreats, that's all right. But if you're talking about your own kids, is it? Okay. Are you talking about your own children?
Yes.
Yeah. So when it comes to our own children, I have a little different philosophy. I feel with our own children, we should not try to make them devotee. We should not try to give them Krishna consciousness. Our own children, if we are Krishna conscious, they will imitate us. There is nothing to worry. 100% they will imitate. In fact, we should not saturate them with too much classes and should not force them into Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, they will go other way around. They'll become so bored with our whole thing, Because our children, those who are born in devotee families or where the mother, father, everybody is chanting, the house is a temple, there is preaching, there is bhakti riksha regularly going on, we should not force children so much because they are regularly hearing. See, children are like CCTV cameras, they are regularly watching us, what we are doing. So as far as our children are concerned, if we ourselves are good devotees and we are following everything properly, and if the children are watching us on a regular basis, definitely they will become good devotees. So we should not try to overdo it or not try to make them a 16 rounder or something like that, because we should remember, after all, they are children. They need that, they are growing up. So Krishna consciousness should be given to them, in a way they want it, and slowly, and make sure that they just watch what we are doing, and slowly they will pick it up from us. But usually the parents start, too much forcing them, chant, do this, do that, then they become averse to it. Usually on my Sunday programs here, so many congregations, they will come, Mataji, mere bete ko bolo na char mala karne ke liye, mere bete ko bolo na aath mala karne ke liye. They keep coming, with that kind of request. And I tell those children in the year, no need to follow your mother. You do as many rounds as you can. And they immediately develop such friendship with me, that here is somebody who understands me, who is not forcing me. And I tell you, they develop such a beautiful relation that after some time, on their own only they chant. And then they come back to me and tell, Mataji, I am doing this many rounds, I am doing that many rounds. So usually our children, for for them we are very big enemy kind of thing. They don't want to listen to what we say, but they will imitate what we are doing. So of course this is a very big topic which I can't answer in one line, but what comes to my mind immediately is that in case of our children, you have some other mentor whom they look up to, and if they, via them, if they get Krishna consciousness, they will appreciate more rather than we trying to make them devoted. That is what is my experience with all these parents which I am guiding regularly. I see that when the parents ask the children to chant, when the parents ask the children to attend the program or do something, the children are reluctant. But if somebody else tells them to do, then they do it more happily.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Yes.
Dhanvat Pranam, all bless Srila Prabhupada, all bless Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Mataji. Your lectures are always so inspiring and so motivating. Mataji, on this note of guiding children, like when you say about the taking class, like preaching to the kids, on Thursday we have a small group of kids coming for class. It started basically as a Bhagavad Gita shloka learning, but I have to introduce, and they love chanting also, and I've got like chanting bags and bags also for them, but I'm hesitant to give them those bags at home because they should not create any anartha, like keep it anywhere or step it, so I just keep it with me. So I'm not yet getting to decide whether I should send them, because they are into chanting. That is the first thing when they come is ask about prasadam and about chanting. So, like, how could you advise me?
Your question is that whether you should give those chanting bags to them or not. Is that your question? Did I get it right?
Yeah, and also like how more can I introduce them to Krishna consciousness?
Do you tell them stories?
Yes, from the Bhagavatam, we have a story. We have like compassion, pride, some topic taken, and then story related to that.
Okay, so you have stories, you have chanting, and you have sloka recitation, and you have prasadam, is it?
Yeah, and then kirtan, and on every Ekadashi, we meet for special kirtans because they love chanting.
Okay, okay. So do you also have some competitions, quiz?
Yes, Mataji. On Gita Jayanti, and Gita Jayanti will have a competition. Basically, we were from Detroit. So it's that then the Gita Jayanti, they have a Gita recitation and a competition from here. We are in Dallas right now. So I'll be taking them via the WhatsApp call, the video call. Mm-hmm. Then they will be participating into that.
You also have art for them? Art?
Not yet, Mataji. I want to introduce
dramas?
It.
Dramas?
Not yet, Mataji.
Yes. That is one way of engaging children. They just love it. They get into the role, you know.
Okay.
If you start organizing the plays, short skits or plays, and they can present it in your local Dallas ISKCON temple on some Sunday programs, or even in your groups, you know, that is one way of, you know, they will love it. They'll get inside the role and start digging more on that particular role. You know, they become Dhruva or Prahlad or something, and then that fever will go on for some more time. Start thinking about themselves also as Dhruva Maharaj or something like that. So you can start with plays, and that will make, you know, develop that group feeling, that team playing, and that's going to help. And art also will help them, art and craft, making something for Krishna. Because what we want with children is there should be a lot of active participation. Kids have so much energy. If you keep making them sit and just tell stories and recitation, then instead of because they have a lot of energy, you should make sure that there's something physical to do where they will, you know, give out their energy, then they will enjoy more. So you make sure that there is some kind of, you know, some art and drama and some physical games also. I don't know how much your situation will allow, but this is something which we do here. We have like games also, physical games also with the kids playing, and of course it will be Krishna consciousness imbibed in that. Like even if they play Kho-Kho, so instead of Kho-Kho or Kabaddi, they will say Gauranga, but they will play. So we make sure that they take out energy. There's so much energy that they have, and like that we involve them, take them for yatras. So that you can do, but make sure that they should be involved actively. Oh. Give them leadership roles also. Make them just like they have it in the school, you know. Make them leader and give them some leadership role also, where they have to actively organize something. The elder kids who have been coming for some time, give them some active role, and definitely they'll feel so happy to be part of it.
Okay, Mataji, these are non-devotee kids as of now. So then, having a play and then organizing it and then getting it to the temple will be okay, right?
Yeah, why not? Even if they're non-devotees, I'm sure they can do a play for the temple. There is no issue about it. So if there are non-devotees, then they may also be, some of them may be also be eating meat.
No, these are all like basically Telugu. Hindu
migrants?
No, I know like half of them are vegetarian. I do not know.
Okay, fine. No, I was wondering about your first question of giving them chanting bags.
Right, right.
So if they are not Tulasi, if they are neem malas or some rose beads or something, definitely you can give them. Nowadays you also have kids mala.
Yeah, these are the neem malas,
so I'm sure you can give them there should be no problem. In fact, they'll feel so happy to have their own set, and they will remember to get it every time when you meet. And then you can make sure that they keep those bags clean and like that.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you. You guided me so much. Thank you. Hari Bol.
Thank you.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanwat Pranava, all glory, Sushila Prabha. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving us your valuable information. Mataji, I have one quick question.
Mm-hmm.
That, as you were talking about tolerating the situation, I talked to some of the devotees. They said that sometime... means like we can talk and sort our situation out, then that would be also nice. So what do you say about it?
Definitely. Now all these, see, when you ask me a question that what to do in situation, definitely you must have already checked off all those options where you talk it out to them, where you try to sort it out. But my answer was for somebody when all these things have failed and there's nothing you can do about it, then you tolerate. That was my last, I know. But I'm sure if you can sort it out and, you know, you can talk it out. These are all, I feel, material answers to it. Any normal human being will do it. If you have a misunderstanding with somebody or somebody speaking harshly with you, definitely you will try to sort it out. But my answer was the last thing, like, you know, last resort. If nothing is working out, then as devotee, we should simply tolerate. But it is always good to go and communicate with the person and let him know how you feel and try to sort it out. If he's a little nice or he or she is nice, definitely they will try to change their behavior. But I was talking about something when it's like last resort. And there are some people who you just can't change. You just can't manage to bring about a change in their behavior. So then you should simply tolerate. So my answer of tolerating doesn't mean that you don't do nothing about it and you keep tolerating. No, this is what, like, you know, like how Narad Muni gave instruction to the snake disciple. Definitely you can act, you can try to sort it out, but if nothing works, then just take it as Krishna's arrangement.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for clarifying it, because sometimes we think that Tirunada Pisunishchena means like whatever is coming, without clarifying it we should tolerate, and later on it becomes burden on us.
No. As I told you, the example of Narad Muni and his snake disciple, we can always try to sort it out.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for all the sound advice. I have two questions. One is about this tolerating when we get very hurtful, let's say, feedback, and it keeps reverberating in our mind. So at that time, I think you were saying something like, you know, we should meet Shastra or something, but will that, for example, reading Shastra, is that going to prevent that reverberation in our minds of the harsh talk?
Mataji, I'm not able to get your question. Can somebody help me?
Oh, were you able to hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but I'm not able to follow the question.
Okay, let me make it clearer. when we get some harsh feedback from a devotee, or maybe even a non-devotee, and it keeps repeating in our mind. At that time, I think your advice was that we should just, like, read Shastra or something like that.
Okay.
And so is that supposed to help stop the mind continually repeating that harsh, those harsh words in our mind? Or, you know, I was just looking for a practical solution to deal with that harsh, those harsh words continually repeating in our mind.
Well, that works out for me, though. I don't know, because when if not harsh words, like in my case, sometimes there is some management issue or something, and it's in my mind, you know, like for 2 days, and I'm struggling with it, then I just take shelter of Bhagavatam. I start reading something which I like, so interesting, just start reading Mukundamala Sutra or something, and then try to divert my mind. And sometimes you get so beautiful, you know, inspiration from them, and then you slowly, you know, forget whatever incident has happened. But otherwise, what is a shelter for devotees in this world? You know, sometimes we have to go through certain situations like that. The only way is that you have to divert your mind, because whatever is happening inside our mind. This mind only needs to be controlled, diverted. Something has to be done with mind, because it is in mind. There are so many layers of mind. In one of my lectures, I have spoken about different layers of mind. But it's in Hindi, if you can understand Hindi, about conscious mind, subconscious mind, superconscious mind, unconscious mind, so many layers. And I've explained the whole process in there, which I can't tell now on the phone, it will be too long, of how when some incident happens, which mind it goes, what happens to it, or for how many days it stays in that particular state of mind, and what we should do, otherwise what will be the ill effect of that. I've given a detailed lecture about it. But in here, I want to tell you in short is that scriptures and devotees are our only shelter. If it is going on in our mind, just go and share it with somebody, and they may give you some, you know, counseling or speak about. Because what I see personally in my life, when some devotees come to me with that kind of problem, the only way I sort it out is I tell them some of this story, that story, this thing happened, that happened with that devotee, this happened with Yudhishthira Maharaj, this happened with that, and immediately after some time they start feeling relaxed. See, our human mind is such, if we are suffering, then that's okay. But if somebody else is also suffering, same like us, then we feel little relief. I mean, I don't know whether to feel good about it or bad about it, but that is our nature. If somebody else is also suffering similar way, then there is some kind of relief we feel. Oh, really? Everybody has this kind of problem? Or really, everybody went through this kind of thing? Then we know our sorrow seems a little less. So usually when some devotees come to me for counseling with this kind of problem, this is what I do. You know, whatever has happened with them, I tell them some other different incidents. This is what happened in this person's life, that person's life, and this is how they tolerated, and this is what happened. And then they start, you know, their problem starts becoming smaller. So that is the only way, because the whole thing is a game of mind. If this mind can be diverted, if this mind can be counseled, if this mind takes shelter of the scriptures, then definitely everything can be sorted out. Actually, we are fine with the incident. It's our mind which keeps on reminding us, how can you forget that incident? How can you forget what this person gave you a response or a harsh speech? It doesn't allow us to forget. So we need to tame it. And only Srimad Bhagavatam can do it.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Mataji, thank you. That was a very nice answer. I just have one other question. I'm referring to when you said that Krishna is our only friend and well-wisher. So I'm just wondering in what sense you meant that, because yes, he is the only one who will. He is the only one who will always be with us, because our let's say other friends, you know, even if they are well wishers, you know, they might not always be around for us for whatever reason.
Right. But
so I was just wondering if I could get some clarification about how we should see the other well-wishers in our life if...
How should we treat them?
No. How we should see them. If Krishna is our only well-wisher, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is
mm-hmm.
the proper way to see the other well-wishers in our life?
Oh, they are Krishna's.
That's the way
Krishna.
I said, or...
The other devotees in our life who are also, you know, seems like our well-wishers, they are all Krishna's messengers. They are all sent by Krishna to help us.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how you see them, you know, that they have been guided by Krishna to help us. But Krishna's hand in everything, that is our goal. Even if other Vaishnavas are helping us, it's because Krishna has inspired them to help us, to be nice to us. But it is Krishna who is working via them in our life.
Yes. Okay, that's what I thought, but I just needed to hear it. So thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mm-hmm. I have one more question, if you have little
okay.
time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Mataji, sometimes people seem to have some unresolvable problem. Like the problem seems to be like a part of their life. So, somebody is not having kids, somebody is not getting married, somebody is this and that. So, how in these conditions, obviously when we look at those people, we feel bad. So, how in these conditions we can, like, bring them towards Krishna? Is how we can give them Krishna consciousness.
Okay, now your question is, there are people who are suffering with some of the other problems, and that problems which cannot be resolved. So how do you bring them into Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, it seems to be unresolvable. It's like if somebody is not getting kid or somebody is not getting married, so it is not in our hand to help them. So how we can like help them? Yes, for being a Krishna conscious. Yes, Mataji.
Well, I feel they are the, you know, right? They are the prospective candidates to Krishna consciousness, because they already tasted the failures in material world, and they are already having problems. So it will be more easier actually to bring them into Krishna consciousness. I don't know there, but in India I find that mostly those people who have some or the other material dissatisfaction, they more easily get attracted towards Krishna consciousness with a hope that, you know, they ultimately their problems may get solved. But if they approach Krishna for getting their problems solved, even if the problem gets solved or not, in the process they start getting purified, and they start falling in love with Krishna, they start feeling comfortable in association with devotees, and they take up Krishna consciousness very rapidly, because they have already faced the problems in material world. And contrary to that, those people who are rich, happy, well settled, no issue, for them to progress in Krishna consciousness is so difficult, because they get so engrossed with their material comforts, luxuries, relatives, friends, programs, marriages, so many things, you know, hurdles and obstacles. But this kind of people who have unresolvable problems, they take up Krishna consciousness very nicely. So what you can do is just give them lot of love and affection, and you know, and bring them into Krishna consciousness. But they should attend program, they should get prasadam, they should start chanting. Sometimes you can even give them hope that, you know, that Krishna will do whatever is good for you. I mean, I don't know if I can give these tips on a phone call, but if you're not recording it, you can actually give them hope that it will get sorted out. I mean, even if apparently maybe a false hope, because you may think that inko to kabhi nahi honge bachche, there is no chance they will get children. But still, if you give them that hope, you know, even if you think it's a false hope, just give them that, let them come, and then slowly you start changing and saying that, you know, even if you don't get children, but Krishna will do whatever is good for you. But if you start saying that in the very beginning to non-devotees, they may not be attracted to come. But slowly you bring them. And then slowly they will start understanding, they will read scriptures, and what they actually came for, they will even in the process forget about it. I have seen one couple in our congregation, they don't have children. And when they first started coming, their hope was that, you know, Krishna will bless and something will happen. And I think now last 13 years they are chanting, and now they forgot also for what they came to temple actually in the very beginning. And of course, with more knowledge from scriptures and attending classes, now they say, no, Mataji, no problem. Krishna is our son. So you see, those
people a few years back were like, you know, going to this doctor, that doctor, this doctor. But now they're so happy in Krishna consciousness. Recently, I installed Gornita deities in their house, and I named their Gornita also, you know, Sachi Pran Nitai Gur. And now she considers herself like Sachi Mata, and she's so happily serving those Gaur Nitai deities, and they both are happy. They said, they are only our children now, Mataji, we are very happy. So it may happen, you know. So they are actually the right candidate. If they are in some kind of a problem, they are the right people to be brought into Krishna consciousness. Just give them lots of love, affection, prasadam, and bring them into Krishna consciousness.
Yes. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for very beautiful answer. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for the wonderful lecture. I have one question on tolerance. Like, I personally feel that if you are tolerating more, the people are taking advantage of you. And like family members or known devotees. I'm not talking about devotees. But so how could you like making the base of your tolerance, that this is the last limit of my tolerance, or I should only tolerate, so because this is my only karma. So how can I limit myself that, okay, now this is the end of tolerance, or I can stop tolerating all this? Can you guide on this?
So you said that because you are tolerating, people start taking advantage of you.
Yes,
so
correct.
So what should be my limit that after this I will not tolerate?
Yes,
so, that's a wonderful question, but I don't know. I will say that you know, it has to be a customized answer. I don't know how can I say what should be your limit, but well, unless they are trying to murder you or kill you, or they're physically abusing you, or you know, I mean, mentally torturing you or something, which is disturbing your Krishna consciousness, which is being obstacle in your Krishna consciousness, not able to continue anymore because of those problems, then it is something. But otherwise, I don't know. See, I don't know you, so I don't know personally what kind of situation you're going through. But I'm sure, you know, in our devotee community, nobody is in that bad situation. If it is that bad, then definitely you need a different kind of an answer for this, how to go about. Maybe personally you can write to me and I can guide if it is. But otherwise, I feel that it's not such a big thing. Krishna doesn't give us an exam paper below or above our class. He just knows, you know, if you are studying in grade 7, you will get a grade 7 question paper. Definitely Krishna won't make that mistake and give you a PhD question paper. He will give you only that test which you can pass. It's only that sometimes we are underprepared, so we say that, nahi, nahi, ye toh mera paper nahi hai. I have given more than what I can tolerate. It's not true actually. He is a very good examiner. So maybe you are, sometimes we are underprepared, and that's why we feel that this paper is too tough. But if we can somehow pass it, then we will go to the next grade, you know. And if I'm not able to answer it properly, and if you have any particular, you can write to me personally in my email and I can answer. But for whatever I understand from your question, this is what is my answer, that Krishna gives the right question paper at the right time. He knows what to do. If he has given you that test, you must pass it.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, is there any question or comment for Mataji? Since we can end the call.
Pancakalpataruvesha Kripasingabhayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Mahabhagavisha, all the Vaishnavas, Hare Krishna.